Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Important player in this effort. So huge appreciation on my part for the work that you've done and keep doing, and also huge appreciation that we've been able to partner with them to get this effort going. So as an organization, Farm Access, which I represent, our mandate and of course objective is to ensure that everyone in Africa will have access to healthcare. And we do that by partnering with key institutions across Africa. So Ghana, we work with the partners I mentioned. We have a fantastic team in Ghana, headed by Dr. Maswell Entry. And our focus is how do we use innovations and data to drive change in healthcare. You know, I always tell people that 25 years ago, nobody imagined that mobile technology will be able to transform Africa the way that we've done. You know, 57% of Africans do not have bank accounts, but they can do business due to mobile payments, or we call them mobile money in Ghana. So our conviction is that if mobile technology has done this for financial inclusion, can we also use mobile technology to transform health and tackle NCDs? The answer is yes. So we committed towards that. Now we are here talking about NCDs. Why is that important? You know, Ghana, as one of the members of United Nations, has signed the UN Declaration on Universal Health Coverage, meaning that 2030, which is 6 years from now, every Ghanaian will have access to basic healthcare without any financial burden. That is the aspiration of the country. And they are working hard on it. And I can confidently say that if I compare Ghana with other African countries, Ghana has made good progress over the years. But there are challenges. One of them, and if you want to achieve USC, is to tackle NCDs. You know, what you said is perfectly right. If I walk on the streets of Accra and I meet 100 people, 43 of them will die of diseases associated with NCDs. And most of them don't know. So you cannot blame the healthcare, the policymakers. You cannot blame the healthcare providers. But we all have to come together to make this work. You know, the picture is gloomy when you listen to the World Bank. That says that if we don't take immediate action now, by 2030, Ghana will spend $6 billion every year on tackling NCDs. That is a cost that as a country, which is aspiring to be a middle-income country, we cannot afford to ignore. So you all have to be part of it. And having us here to have that conversation, and I'm really inspired that if you want to address this in a comprehensive manner, we need to engage experts from across the board. That's why we are here with academia, with healthcare providers, with policymakers and patient advocates to really drive home and mobilize efforts to achieve or defeat NCDs. So that is important for us as an organization, it's important for the country. And we've seen how, because some people cannot pay for care, they are pushed into poverty. That has to stop. You know, so, and in conclusion, what I would also like to emphasize that I'm glad, you know, also based on your introduction, that this dialogue is actionable, will focus on actionable solutions. That is what we need. You know, awareness raising, early detection, prevention, treatment, and above all, building support systems to help people. You know, this, we call it dialogue, but it's more than a conversation. It's a call to action that we all have to embrace. And we are proud to be doing this with our key partners in the country.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for that. Dr. Kwesi Bohene is the Director of Health Systems at PharmAccess. We're hoping he stays with us a little bit so that he can also be a key contributor to our ongoing dialogue. Now, this conversation is indeed a dialogue. That means it's not just about us here in the studio. It's even more about you watching, listening, wherever you may be. So be a part of the conversation. On X, you can post and use the hashtag JoyNationalDialogue. At some point, if we get the opportunity, we would love to hear you when we open the phone lines with your contributions, questions, and views. Because by the end of this conversation, we have to have a vision and a plan of how we will stem the tide of death caused by non-communicable diseases. So let's not waste time. Let's get into it. Here in the studio, we have Dr. Jacqueline Thompson, family physician for the Greater Accra Regional Hospital. Professor Gordon Abeka Nkrumah is with the Department of Health Services Management at the University of Ghana Business School. Very important. Dr. Eric Nsiah Boateng is the head of monitoring and evaluation at the Ministry of Health. And Labram Musa, national coordinator of the Ghana NCD Alliance. Dr. Thompson, if you don't mind, I'd like to start with you because you're sort of at the business end of this. You meet the Ghanaians who, you know, are coming to you with these non-communicable diseases. And I start with you because there's something I've been curious about. These numbers are staggering, 40% of all deaths. You know, it's scary to hear it. But I wonder how we got here. Was it sudden? Is it a sudden new surge? Or did it build gradually? In your experience, how did we get here?
So, thank you very much. It's been something that has gradually grown over the years. Okay, so with the introduction of things like us adopting a Western diet, physical inactivity, stress-related issues and all that, it's something that has grown over time, and then that's how come we've gotten to this point. And as time has gone on, much attention has not been given to it. So if the problem had been seen in the beginning, it would have been nipped in the bud earlier on. But it's, like we are saying, has been a neglected area. So that's why we are facing this problem currently.
Now, I suppose the scariest part of it is that by all estimations, half of those who have NCDs have no idea. I mean, Dr. Nsiah Boateng, you head monitoring and evaluation at the Ministry of Health. No doubt if there are any numbers, you have them. Talk to us. I mean, first of all, if indeed half of those who are suffering and likely to die from NCDs are not aware that they have it, what in God's name can be an intervention against something that you don't even know is killing you?
Yeah, thank you very much, Kojo. I think as a health sector, what we have tried to do is to make sure that we improve the policy environment. And in so doing, you need to come out with legislative documents like the National NCD Policy, the revised version, which is 2022, and then the Tobacco Control Regulation of 2016-2017. And then the national policy on the alcohol, which is also 2016. In fact, over the years, we always talk about education. But like you rightly said, I mean, if about half of those dying are not aware that they have symptoms of NCDs, then what it means is that we need to also do more to address that. So we do admit that when it comes to education, we need to do more. And in doing more, what we mean by that is that we need to make sure that people who have the symptoms do report early to the health facilities. That is where we can screen them, detect, diagnose, and provide the needed care. And then we have other groups that are also not even aware that they have the symptoms that they walk around. And for those groups, what we need to do is to also improve screening at the community level. So what this means is that when you look at the healthcare system, the lower level of care, the community level, the chips that we have in our system is where we need to strengthen to provide a capacity. The capacity will be in terms of equipment, in terms of the human resource distribution, in terms of other resources like, for example, TV apparatus and the rest. These are the things that we need to do. But I think if you look at the policy, what we have stressed on or focused on is the preventive aspect of it. How do we make sure people who are exposed to the risk factors know that these are the issues that they are likely to face, and these are the implications? I mean, it affects individuals, it affects society, and it even affects the nation, the common economic cost, as we all know. So we are focusing on more of education, collaborating with the Ghana Education Service and other, stakeholders to make sure that we have targeted interventions. And here we are looking at all groups within the socioeconomic, bracket. How do we do that? We need to also leverage all media, print, social, and electronic. So these are some of the proposals that we have put in the document that, together with the stakeholders, we'll be able to do. There's another important committee that we've set up, a multi-sectorial NCD steering committee, with key members from all the stakeholders. We can talk of Ministry of Finance, the Security, Education, and the rest. So these are some of the proposals that we believe that we can do, and then let people who are not aware and they are dying silently also get to know this, and then make informed choices about their lifestyle.
Well, we'll take the opportunity to assess some of these policies and see.
But I think there's an important point here.
Certainly.
So the fact that we know that about 40% of mortalities are from NCD, the numbers are too high, but it's important that we know. Because if we don't know, we can't do anything about it. In addition to that, we know the risk groups or the risk factors. So a lot has gone in terms of knowledge. The prevention, the care, and others, we have to do a lot about it, but you always have to start from somewhere and build upon it. And I think that the Ministry of Health, the Ghana Health Service, academia, really trying to help us understand the dynamics of it, I think, is key, and we should not lose sight of that in this dialogue.
Yeah, we can't really make any decisions without data information, so I take that point. Labram, we keep hearing about the need for education, right? I mean, how misinformed is the average Ghanaian about NCDs? In the work you do, do you find that this is something people just don't know anything about? What would you say should be the focus of any education campaign?
So thank you very much, and let me also commend Farm Access for putting this together, and of course, Joyce, and for ensuring that at any point in time our health is prioritized. So let me say that I have been a participating stakeholder as far as even the development of the NCD policy is concerned. And so let me say that in terms of awareness creation, yes, I mean, the document, we're not going to always have fine policies, but the issue always has to do with, the deliberate efforts to roll out public awareness campaign is something which is practically missing. And I'm saying this on the back of the fact that we always wait once, the world is celebrating maybe World No Tobacco Day or World Diabetes Day, then we make all the, and then that is the way we go sleep. And I think that is actually, affecting, the extent to which the prevalence continues to grow, So people originally really are aware of the, of the situation, especially at the southern part of the country, the Accra, the city, but when you go to the downtrodden communities, like the rural communities, remote communities, people virtually are not aware of, of these conditions. And that's the reason why we are also experiencing a lot of, these, happenings around the the rural communities, and especially we are explaining this is because when you would hear of many of them going to the hospital and they are being referred and they are unable to go because of high cost of treatment and all of those things. So the point actually is that we need to, you know, kind of come out with a delivery plan. We shouldn't wait, you know, until probably you are waiting, you are celebrating one or tobacco or something. There should be a deliberate effort, deliberate plan to continuously, you know, create awareness. And I also kind of say that the media has not also helped, you know, in many, many regards, especially when it comes to issues around, you know, unhealthy commodities, you know, because the media has been the gateway to, you know, propagating, you know, some of these unhealthy stuff. And, you know, and once the media channel or something, trust me, you know, then it goes out and then people tend to use them. So, for public awareness creation, we are trying our best. I think that we need to do more to ensure that we are able to reduce the burden. Now, when you mention 43% of, I mean, diseases, people dying from NCD, you know, I don't want to mention percentage. I would say that, let's mention the figure itself. You know, it's about 94,400 people die annually from non-communicable diseases in Ghana. You know, and globally, you know, it's about 40 million people die. In fact, leading cause of preventable death. We say preventable because we can't prevent it. You know, so it is not, I mean, about people dying, but these are deaths that can be prevented.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we need concerted effort to be able to, you know, to do this.
Thank you for that. Now, let's talk money. Prof, it costs a lot for a state to manage non-communicable diseases. And I think we have examples. If the NHS shows you their budget for the management of non-communicable diseases, it is scary. It's staggering. And Ghana, at this point where we are now trying to implement the wonderful policies and laws that we've written, obviously, the consideration of cost is key. It's probably the reason why we haven't done much so far. Let's try and break down that cost. First of all, let's talk about how much it costs an individual to manage even one non-communicable disease, let alone some of us who have to. Right. And then let's build it up to the national numbers. Let's get an idea of the cost of what we want to do.
All right, thank you very much and good evening once again. And let me thank Farm Access and your station for lifting this to a higher level so that we can all begin to have conversations about it. And so, yes, we can pick just one. And normally I would want to take hypertension because that's a big issue in Ghana. Of course, diabetes is also a big issue, and oftentimes these two, they go together. I mean, there's been a recent study about Ghana. I mean, there are all manner of studies. We know that all of them are not, if you like, what they give is they are basically estimates. But I think the recent study on Ghana puts the costs per month something around a minimum of about $4.3 million to about $5.7 million, averaging around $535 a month per person. And this is actually treatment costs, okay? It is treatment cost. And the irony is that these figures are based on national health insurance prices. And so I would say that this is significantly underestimated because everybody will tell you that if you pick national health insurance prices for services, the way she will tell you that they are way below the market price. Mm. And I think that one of the things the current CEO is trying to do is for them to revise the tariffs to ensure that they are consistent with market prices. And I think that I applaud the National Health Insurance for that. So you can see that this figure of 535 per month for treatment is way underestimated. But for me, that is not just the issue, because this is just treatment cost. Then we need to talk about opportunity cost. So the person who goes to hospital loses the ability to make income for that particular day. Then you can then talk about the cost of disability in addition to this. And again, think of it also that in Ghana, a huge proportion of what we pay at the hospital is subsidized by the state. And so then you then talk about, for instance, her salary is paid by the state. So this is not part of this money. So you can look at this and see that this is some sort of very, very significant cost per individual, mm-hmm. per month. And so for me, this is something that, like he said, the World Bank estimating something around, he said, $6 billion annually. Mm. Yeah. And that's, I'm not too sure whether we would be able to afford that. And even if it were $535, I am asking, what is the average daily wage in Ghana? And if you multiply the average daily wage by, let's say, 28 days, how much do people earn, and how much do they commit to treating this? So if you look at it from that way, then you can see that it's a major, major issue. I know that as we go along the conversations, we may be talking about how do we mm-hmm. get the money to finance this. And I think that when we get there, we can have conversations about this. But before I yield, you were talking about issues of how did we get here mm-hmm. and education and things like that. And I also think that the problem is because we have just over-medicalized too many things. I don't think that NCD is a medical problem. NCD is a lifestyle problem, okay? And so, for instance, when we're having policy discussion, the policy discussion should be looked at from a holistic perspective. The last time they were talking to me about this, and I was saying that, why are we having this conversation without Ministry of Agriculture? Why are we having this conversation without Ministry of Education? Because if you look at this, it's basically the Ministry of Health only comes in when things are bad. But if we want to prevent this, Ministry of Education has a role to play in terms of education. And then when it comes to, say, lifestyle issues, one of the things I say is that the rich kids in school, they are sitting on a time bomb with their lifestyle. Mm. And then the poor kids also have problems because their feeding habits are not good enough. I was the last time talking about the issues of how malnutrition can actually condition your body systems for you to become susceptible to NCDs. And so kids in school at the moment who don't get better nutrition, there is a way that the body can adjust to that situation such that by the time they are 30, they are predisposed. And I say this based on this study which was done after the Second World War in looking at kids that were born during the war and kids that were born after the war. And they were followed for several years. And they realized that kids that were born during the war were more predisposed to NCDs because the body systems had to adjust to deprivation. Mm. And so these are issues that we can think about. The good thing is that if you take Ghana, for instance, in schools, we have school feeding program, which is a good intervention. And then we can have educational models that are educating these rich kids so they can go off junk food. So I think that we need to expand the conversation and ensure that everybody is part of this.
Now that you brought in the issue of nutrition, I want to hear all of us on this one, okay? Because it's I will confess, every time we talk about NCDs, the only part of the conversation that leaves me a little bit hopeless, as if perhaps the job is bigger than our capability, is the nutrition aspect of it. Doc, you meet real people who come into you with these conditions. If you were to tell the average Ghanaian that he now has to have two-thirds of his portion of food being fruits and vegetables, is it practical? Is it something that we can practicalize in this Ghana that someone eating fufu is going to have two-thirds of his dish fruits and vegetables? Is it doable? Like, we'll talk about the affordability later, but just on the practical application, do you find when you talk to patients that this is something you can prescribe for them and they can do?
Yes. So, yes, when it comes to nutrition, I agree with you that it's something that is quite a dicey area. And looking at how the situation is currently, you mentioned that we should put the financial or the affordability aside. The doability, yes, it is doable. But then we have to make sure that we tell the people why they have to do so, the importance of doing so, the advantages, the benefits, that it plays a role in prevention of all these NCDs. And it's not just about talking to people that I see in my consulting room, but as we've talked about, talking to children in school. So we have to catch them early and then teach them. We need to talk to the teachers as well. So when it comes to this school feeding program and things like that, so that there's equality. So Dr. Gordon talked about the fact that you have to tell the rich kids to stop eating junk food. Then we have to get the poor kids to have more nutritious food to eat. So when it comes to the school feeding program, why don't we make it such that everybody is exposed to the same thing when they come to school, so that they have that. So if we say that this is what we've provided, two-thirds of your meal has to be fruits and vegetables. You don't have any other option. That's what you have to eat. If the unhealthy foods are not available, they'll be forced to eat it. And then it's also got to do with changing of the mindset, changing the culture, knowing that it's not all about eating carbohydrates. You know, for us as Ghanaians, we know that we need to get our energy from the carbohydrates. And it's also because the carbohydrates are cheaper. Okay, so you have your big fufu in a bowl and then you add some soup to it and then there's a small piece of meat in there. There's no vegetable. So we have to change the mindset, knowing that deriving energy from carbohydrates is something that will take your energy level only for a short period of time. But when you eat fruits and vegetables, it keeps you fuller for longer because the energy is released over a longer period of time. So when you tell them that do this, you have to back it with evidence to tell them that this is why you need to do it. Because of course, if you tell them that, okay, eat fruits and vegetables, I have people who come to me and tell me either that I don't like vegetables or I don't like fruits. It's because that is not how they have been brought up. My kids eat fruits and vegetables, and some of my friends find it strange. Oh, how come your kids are eating vegetables? And I said, you have to bring them up that way. And you see, us adults as well, we have to get to a point in time where we need to change. So I think that what will drive it is that when you know that this is the benefit, because if you eat something that is unhealthy, you're concentrating more on sugary drinks, you're concentrating more on eating a lot of carbohydrates, eating too much proteins and other things, once you are able to send the message across that this is what you will gain from doing this, yes, it is doable, because I have a few people who I've interacted with over the past couple of weeks to months that have changed their diet, and they have come to tell me that, doctor, I have seen a difference. I have seen a difference in my energy levels. I'm able to sleep better, and so many advantages. So once you take them through that process, so then now there was someone who is not even a national of Ghana, and he says that, oh, he didn't realize he was going so bad. He had gone bad, actually. So that meant that, I mean, his health was bad and things like that. So I was also talking to some other doctor colleagues, and they've had similar experiences. So we need to, not just in our consulting rooms, but talk to people in our churches, in our mosques and other places, talk to our family members that these things are doable, and then we'll talk about the cost.
Indeed, yes, we will come back to the cost. But Labra, me, I'm still a little skeptical. I'm thinking about my cousin Kwisi in the village. This guy, when he comes back from the farm, like you said, big bowl of fufu and soup with lots of bush meat, not a vegetable inside. Mm-hmm. Now, not a vegetable inside, partly because, I mean, that's not how he's been raised to, you know, to eat fufu, but also because we, as a nation, vegetables are very expensive. They seem to be the preserve of the rich. So my cousin Kwesi, vegetables are not part of his ecosystem. How do you get him, who is most likely to be among the 50% of people with NCDs that is not aware, how do you get him to change a behavior of a lifetime?
Right, so thank you very much. And I think that, I mean, Doc has said it all. The point is this, we need deliberate, you know, well, so that's what I go and then kind of attack kind of government, because, you know, if you don't have policies, then become practically very difficult, you know. Prof was mentioned about that we need to go with conversation, has to bring in other stakeholders, you know, food and agriculture, educational sector, and what have you. But unfortunately, these institutions or these stakeholders sometimes are missing in this whole conversation. Right, so we have been trying our best. We of course, we cannot cover everywhere. So what we do is that we try to create the awareness, you know, let people understand that, because it's the benefit of, you know, of eating fruits and vegetables, but it's actually very, very difficult, because they'll be asking so many questions. Where are we going to get the money from? Mm-hmm. I mean, even why would they have the fertilizers to even grow these fruits and vegetables, you know? And even when they grow them, I mean, they want to sell them out so that they can, you know, be able to fend for the, you know, for the family. But the point is that we need, you know.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I mean, broadening up the conversation so that we'll bring all stakeholders on board. You know, the Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Food and Agriculture is very, very critical in this conversation. And I think that we can also leave the Ministry of Finance also out in this one, because, you know, they bring in the money. They must understand the cost and benefit, you know, of all of these things. So at least if the Ministry of Finance understands that, if he doesn't, you know, kind of, provide the funding, this will happen. You know, when people fall sick and go to the hospitals, you're going to spend more money, you know, take care of them. So the point is, you have to look at that, the cost benefit analysis, so you're able to know where do you invest your money. And again, having said that, then it comes to prevention, because prevention is very, very important. And you know, educating people, health literacy is very crucial, as you have mentioned. So we need. Of course, to continue with the awareness creation. You know, it should be in all aspects of our endeavors, not necessarily only on, you know, on food and vegetable, but all other unhealthy commodities. You know, let me just mention that, you know, respect to the school environment, I think that's why we need the Ministry of Health to come up with policies that regulate our school environment. Because, you know, though children go to school, the children are mostly spend most of the time in school. I think you agree with me, because my child goes to school from 8 and then close and then gets home by 4. So they spend practically a huge number of time in the school. So if the government is able to come up with policies that regulate the school environment, because you go to some school and then even the headmistress, the heads are those who are selling all the junk food, you know. And what can you do? You can do little about that. But I know there are some schools that, you know, are practicing, you know, this, you know, healthy food habit. You know, I know a particular school, for instance, where the headmistress testified that indeed the children are not falling sick, they are not going to hospital as they used to do, because she has brought certain kind of restrictions. You don't be, I mean, used to school. I mean, what they also provide is adequate food and vegetables. If one take this juice and stuff, you take them when you close from school, but she wouldn't allow that, you know, in the school. And the children are growing healthy. So we need to try to, we need to, you know, dumb, you know, kind of, you know, have a study to understand that indeed, if we're able to do this, it will go a long way too. And I think that school has ever come to one of our forum, and the headmistress actually testified that when we go, you know, the way, as I mean, Doc mentioned, we are going to reduce the extent to which our children are exposed to, you know, to, you know, falling sick and now regularly going to the hospital. So I think that equally for me, I've been somebody who always, you know, come at government. I mean, the fact that we have policy, but the policy need to be to go to the schools, especially on our school environment, and of course the children, I mean, are fed in the school. And it shouldn't only be on the school feeding program. We should extend it to the private sector as well, the private schools. So at least we know that what the school, the students or pupils are eating in the schools too. You know, we kind of understand what they are eating, so we're able to regulate. In other words, we're focusing more on the school feeding program. It's not good, it's bad, and leaving, you know, the private school. And then the worst is happening in the private school because children are growing more obese at the private schools. I mean, not much is being done at that level. So we need to kind of, you know, and then also in the school curriculum, we need to ensure that we review them to ensure that it has more of, you know, activities that would make the children grow healthy. You and I know that most of our schools now have been cemented without, I mean, play fields. I mean, which causes a lot of problems, you know. And they're coming, you know, also the astroturfs are also compounding the problem. You know, I mentioned that now children living in the communities must go and pay. You know, they don't have the leverage of, you know, of playing around again, because these facilities have been given private owners who are building the astroturf. So, and you have to pay before you get access. You know, these are all increasing our disease burden. So we need to review our strategies in every aspect of our endeavors.
So let me challenge an assumption, right? Also what you said. That it's very difficult to convince your brother to get rid of the akrantia and stuff and eat vegetables. But you know, culture is dynamic. Culture is really dynamic. Some years ago, Ghana was predominantly a vegetarian country. You know, we ate chicken when we had Christmas. We were eating fish, but that one, you know, small amani will be shared by four people. It was a lot of contemporary and garden eggs and etc. And of course, we've moved forward because the fast food enterprise, they've been able to do very good marketing to convince people that, you know, if you eat fast food, it's better than eating the contemporary and ampersier. And I think in order to convince your brother, we need to have a very good story. It's not so much about don't eat akrantia, but we have to have a story. Why should your brother abandon akrantia or pork for fish or contemporary? The benefits has to be communicated clearly to your brother. You know, the change of behavior is just an outcome of the conversation that we need to have. And I think that's critical. Otherwise, we'll be focusing primarily on the situation now and convincing someone to change. You know, somebody said that the thinking that created the problem that we have now will not be the same thinking that will get it out of the problem. So we really need to have drastic engagement, convincing, inspiring stories to let people know that the benefit of doing B instead of A. And it goes down to what has been said already of education, particularly also at a younger age. And I know researchers really working on this to see how can you engage children. Because, you know, the children will grow to become adults and then will have the propensity to all these diseases. So how do you engage them? And if they come home and tell their parents that, hey, I learned this in school and it has to be this, they do listen. But it's also a long-term process. You know, this conversation today is an important step towards all the contributions that, you know, stakeholders in Ghana are making. And so let's try also to put the conversation, as Prof said, in that integrated framework and see the steps that we can make towards it.
Between the three of you, you are sparking small hope for me.
We also need to sort of drive home the fact that when we talk about vegetables, we are not talking about carrots, cabbage, lettuce, and other things. Like Dr. Kwesi said, contemporary garden eggs, okra, what we have locally, we're talking about the different kinds of leaves. People have dandelion growing in their house. People have spinach, I mean, all sorts of things. So those also count as vegetables. So it's not just about going to the market to say that I want to purchase this. And then also we can encourage people growing some vegetables and fruits in their homes. Even if you don't have a backyard, people are using Kufuor gallons, people are using plastic bags, people are using old buckets and things. So we can grow and then eat what we grow.
Very important.
Yeah.
Now, before I bring in Prof, I have a question for government. We've seen it done in other parts of the world. The United Kingdom has had fantastic success with their 5-a-day initiative. It was very subtle how they introduced it. They didn't make a law.
Yeah.
But there was so much information about why you need 5 portions of fruit and vegetable every day.
Yeah.
In order for you to have actually nourished yourself. And that sunk in. Businesses took, you know, the cue. If you make fruit juice and you know that your fruit juice makes up 1 or 2 of someone's 5 a day, you put it on there. So someone in the supermarket has options and knows that this option will help me meet my goal. And so that option then gets more market. These little trickle-down effects from a simple information campaign has yielded billions of pounds in savings. Why don't we have something like that from government of Ghana?
Yes, Kodjo, that is very true. Like what my colleagues have said, the key thing is empowerment. I mean, how do we empower the kids in schools to understand that there are certain foods that when you eat, you are more likely to get these, you know, diseases when you grow up? That is one bit of it. We also talk about the community level. The way our cultural setup is, you need to work with the community, you know, people to be able to deliver, you know, health, quality health services to them. So one of the approaches that we are using is the One Health framework. When we talk of the One Health framework, this is meant to ensure that all agencies and stakeholders whose activity impact on health will work in a concerted way to be able to educate the population about the effect of some of these lifestyle choices that we do. And I'm happy my colleagues also mentioned, for example, the school feeding program in school. These are some of the things that we work with the Ghana Education Service to make sure that we also educate, apart from feeding them, we educate them on the effects of some of these things, the NCDs, in schools. The 5 issues that we mentioned in UK. In Ghana, in fact, the FDA, I'll just single out FDA, is doing really well in some of these areas. We need to also leverage on the regulation. How do we ensure that advertisement, some of these things, how do we show that they are harmful to the body system? People tend to change when they see some of these things, that, okay, you see a cigarette with a pictorial view of what you are likely to suffer from when you go on using a cigarette or consume so much alcohol. These are things that we can begin to also drum home to the population. And I agree with my brother that, you know, behavior change takes a very long time. And the question you asked earlier, how did we get here? We have had a shift from communicable to non-communicable. As a population or country, we are aging. Rapid urbanization is also happening. Mm-hmm. And all these things come with, you know, unhealthy lifestyles and some of these. So we need to begin to work together with key stakeholders to drum home the importance of, you know, indulging in a very good habit of eating, doing physical activity. Where we live and work, we need to ensure that we make provision for people to exercise. And we've seen it in some places where they've dedicated a day or two for workers not to use the elevator or lift. You work through. These are little things, but that I can tell you. At the end, you are likely to benefit from it. You need to begin with some of these small things, and then at the end, we may get there.
But everything you've described, these are things people tend to do on their own, you know, of their own initiative, of their own steam.
Yeah.
I'm looking for leadership here. I'm looking for government saying that, right, like how we did with Friday African Wear.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That was a leadership decision.
Sure.
Right? So I'm looking for that. in this bid to change people's behavior.
Yes, Kojole, that is right. And we believe that we can do that through, I mean, the collaboration with the Ghana Education Service. I don't want to repeat that, but that is what we need to inculcate into the school, you know, or the students, the children in school.
When?
It's starting, Kojo. We are working together with these stakeholders in this space. I mentioned to you that we formed the multi-sectorial NCD steering committee, which rests from all these important agencies. And let me mention that the Ministry of Finance has also recognized the importance of this thing. Like I mentioned earlier, it has effect on the economy of the country. So what you are trying to do is that for the MDAs and MMDAs, if you are submitting your annual budget to the Ministry of Finance for consideration, they need to include NCD activities in the budget. These are things that we can work together to, you know, make sure that in all these districts, in all the communities, at least the MDAs, the MMDAs are including activities, NCD activities that they also embark on. Aside that, within the health sector, we need to also track, you know, the implementation of some of these things. And the surveillance system of, I mean, we are now deploying the surveillance system of keeping the hypertension, diabetes, and other, you know, NCDs on it to track, make analysis, and make informed decisions. So these are the things that, together with the stakeholders, CSOs, our donor partners, we are trying to do. It's also good to mention that it's not just Ghana when it comes to recognizing that this is a burden. Globally, if you look at the UN SDGs, it's also acknowledged. So in terms of financing, I mean, the previous policy, one of the biggest challenges was funding. It was a major, you know, issue. We couldn't get money to implement most of the activities that we did. Now the global, you know, community is also recognizing the importance of this. So we want to also leverage on the bilateral arrangement that we have with our, you know, partner countries to get funding support apart from the local ones that we have.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
We are also using the NHIS as one of the means of financing some of the, you know, the cost of NCDs. We've put onto the NHIS package the childhood, you know, cancers, about four of them. We have also put onto the medicine list, the one for the sickle cell, which is the hydroxyurea, you know. These are the things that we are all working together within the space to try and then make sure we reduce the burden, the spread, and then the burden of NCDs.
You know, whenever you talk about funding, the next word that comes up is priorities, right? Because really, if there's no new money coming in from somewhere, we have to figure out how to spend the money we do have.
All right.
Okay. So as an advisor to government, a government that has decided to build 111 hospitals, when 40% of those who are alive today are likely to die from non-communicable diseases, have you voiced your advice to government that perhaps our priorities should change, and that instead of 111 hospitals, maybe some of that money, maybe you should build fewer hospitals and spend more money preventing people from needing hospitals?
Kwajo, in addition to the preventive, you know, measures, we also admit that there are some who have the condition that we need to treat, or even early detection, and then making sure that they have better health outcomes. If you look at some of the challenges when it comes to NCDs, at the lower level of care, the communities and the chiefs and health centers, they don't have the capacity to provide NCD services. The referral pathway is another one. while you leave, health center may not be able to provide you care. You have to be referred to a district. If you live in a district where there's no district hospital, it means that you don't have access to medication or any other treatment for it. So those policies or interventions are also very important. We have gaps in those, you know, infrastructure. We have issues with the distribution of personnel and all those things. So even though we are talking about prevention, we cannot run away from the fact that there are people who have it who also need to be taken care of. And you need some of these, you know, interventions, health infrastructure, equity in the distribution of personnel to take care of them. Mm-hmm. Else you live in communities and then you get referred to the higher place, that higher place is not in your district. Some may not even have the transportation to go. So in as much as we are all focusing on preventive aspect, there's an aspect which is about treatment or management of the cases, which as we speak in Ghana is better done at the district, regional and tertiary facilities. Right. So you need these things in addition to the preventive measures that we are all talking about.
All right. Thank you. If you just joined us, this is the first Joy National Dialogue on non-communicable diseases. We've already been live on the Joy News channel and Joy 99.7 FM, as well as all our social media platforms for an hour. But we've just been joined now by our Joy Prime audience. Good evening to you all. This is a very important conversation held under the auspices of Farm Access, represented here tonight by Dr. Kwesi Boahene, who is the Director of Health Systems there. We also have Dr. Jacqueline Thompson, family physician at the Greater Accra Regional Hospital. We have Professor Gordon Abeka-Nkrumah, who is with the Department of Health Services Management at the University of Ghana Business School. Dr. Eric Nsia-Boateng is the head of monitoring and evaluation at the Ministry of Health. He represents government in this conversation. Labram Musa is the national coordinator of the Ghana NCD Alliance, with lots and lots of advocacy and real-life experience being brought to bear in our conversation. Now, Prof, it is obviously cheaper to live an unhealthy lifestyle. In Ghana, a tomato costs 5 Ghana cedis. I mean, are there some Ghanaians who unfortunately are priced out of the option of healthy living?
Thank you once again. Maybe what I would do is that I would rather would not want to start answering you from there, but look at the whole financing issue holistically. And the way I see it is to analyze it from the centers of responsibility, which starts from the level of the state to corporate Ghana and then to communities and individuals. Now, the level of the state, there are two things that I see, okay? The state should be pressured to do policy shifts, and this policy shift could be issues of regulation, and then it could be issues of taxation to raise money. And I think that what we should be doing is strong advocacy, what I call a business case, which is woven around elite incentives. So, for instance, we have argued that NCDs are the next pandemic. Okay. How are we communicating NCDs to the elite who have the power to make decisions when it comes to resource allocation, say the Ministry of Finance, say Cabinet? How have we communicated NCDs to them? Do they see NCDs as the next COVID which is coming up, which may necessitate the president having fellow Ghanaians every fortnight and having meetings all over the place? So the way we package this message and carve it around their own incentives in terms of how this determines their electoral fortunes would be very, very important, because these are the very things that sort of tickles them to reallocate, to create the necessary policy shift. For instance, if it is about regulation to be able to push down the junk industry, and if it is regulation to raise new taxes. Think about it. COVID, we came up with 1%, was it 1%?
Levy.
Yeah.
And we still pay,
and we all paid without, because everybody saw what COVID was doing. And so we need to think about it this way. Then the other side is resource allocation. Again, I think that the civil society space, together with the Ministry of Health, should begin to develop the capacity to make a business case in a way, again, that is aligned to the incentives of the elite, both at the state, sub-national, and even at the district level. We need to begin to look at this so that there can be shifts in resource allocation. Now, when it comes to corporate Ghana, corporate Ghana has a role to play in this conversation. But I think that there is the need for policy levers that create incentives for corporate Ghana to begin to also support the process. Because remember, they are not Father Christmas. And so policy can be redirected to create the enabling environment and the incentives for corporate Ghana to get into this. And again, regulation in that side. And then I'll come to the side that you are most interested in, the average Ghanaian and a tomato costing 5 Ghana cedis and how many people will be able to buy. So I look at this from two directions, okay? I think that first is about issues of responsibility, okay? We need to have a big conversation about responsibility and where this is taking us. I mean, I don't think that before COVID, any of us was interested in washing our hands and having a mask on. But when we knew COVID was going to kill us, majority of us decided to put on the mask. Of course, I don't expect everybody to put on the mask because in every society, you're going to get a few deviant ones anyway. So how have we elevated this conversation? And if we begin to go that direction and begin to let people understand the personal responsibility that they have and the payoff for that personal responsibility, my thinking is that behavior will change. But again, I also think about support systems. So let's talk about planting for food and jobs. It was a big policy. We all talked about it. But I think that that is a lost opportunity. Planting for food and jobs could have been aligned with an NCD strategy such that households are being supported with subsidized organic fertilizer, seedlings, and being given the education and training. That education does not mean you should come to my house. Think about, you know, they were doing math and science something on TV. There can be state sponsoring that, teaching people how to do home gardening. Kojo, if you come to my home in University of Ghana, there's, you know, the dispenser bottles. Mm-hmm. I just cut them and just get soil into it. And when you come, I'm planting almost everything. I have people can do, even those people who are using the tiles, they can still plant basic vegetables. Okra can grow very well in that. Cocoyam can grow very well in that. Garden eggs will grow in that. And so it's not an issue of saying it is just 5 cedis and so I cannot buy. But people can be encouraged and supported at home to do this. And what's going to happen is that it can even generate income for people. And as it generates income, it also gives them some at home to eat. And so for me, I'm not the sort of person that looks at constraints. And so I'm a bit biased because in my world, I don't see impossibilities. I always see that there is a possibility, but there's got to be personal responsibility and then support to be able to deliver that.
Just out of curiosity, what on record is the mortality rate for diabetes alone? Out of all those who have it, what percentage end up dying?
I mean, that is a challenge that we face. I mean, if you look at the routine database, in our last health summit, which was organized in May, we tried to estimate that from the routine database. And I can tell you it was just less than 1%. Mm. But if you go into the WHO website, it's between 20-30% for those aged between 15 to 49 adults. Yeah. These are estimates that we have it. industry. And it's one of the issues that we also want to address. How do we make sure that we have a system that collects the information for us to routinely analyze and make informed decisions of those things?
I want to work with that estimate because of the question I want to ask.
Let me say this. I am likely to believe the WHO estimate because the study, and you know that diabetes and hypertension, they go together.
Yes.
Okay. And the study in Ghana estimated around in terms of those who have hypertension is between.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.